like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8.
That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Welcome back into the show. Starting things off here. How about Kevin Love? The Cleveland Cavs started a discussion with him on a buyout. The sides could come to separating terms here during the All-Star break. It's done now, but before the Thomas Bryant trade, would that have made sense with the Nuggets? Now, is he a starter still, though? Just interesting that they're going to do this.
Probably not on this team. I think he'd be a solid bench piece. But yeah, I feel like Cleveland's ready to move in a different direction.
Well, the last month, he hasn't really been a part of the rotation, really. I mean, he's on the final year of his contract. He has a $31.2 million salary. I mean, crazy. Kevin Love, man. Nah, I like where we're going. Thomas Bryant's good, but there's part of me that would have liked to see Kevin Love in the Denver Nuggets uniform. But it wasn't meant to be. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he wore the jacket he wore to the Super Bowl was offensive to some. It was a very strange depiction of Jesus, apparently. It looked like... if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people came out and were like, dude, this is awful. This is in terrible taste, especially after what you just went through. DeMar Hamlin did come back out and say, after talking with my parents, I understand how my coat would have offended some people. It was never my intentions to hurt or disrespect anyone. The coat is abstract to me. He said, my beliefs and relationship with God is not tied to symbolic images. Boy, that's tough, man. I mean, everybody was in his... Not that people aren't in his corner anymore, but it's just a weird-looking thing. It was an illustration of Jesus on the cross under the word eternal. The front featured an abstract depiction of Jesus' face and appears to reference a Bible verse that reads, without end or beginning, there is no day and night. Adrian Peterson, former Minnesota Vikings, great running back, tweeted out that the jacket was blasphemy. He wrote in an Instagram post that he has since cleared the air with Hamlin. He said, after speaking with DeMar, I have an understanding that it didn't come from a place of ill intent. I apologize for offending you. I just felt offended in that moment as a man who loves and respects our Lord and Savior. Kind of soured DeMar Hamlin's image a little bit there just by wearing a jacket.
Yeah, I mean, I just looked at the picture. It's not great, and you know, the symbol of the cross is very well known in terms of just the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do an abstract art piece like that,
right?
Abstract art is weird.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But maybe not the best.
Probably not the best choice there.
Just worn like a Bills jacket or something.
Just probably should have just done that.
Or we could just, you know, stop
wearing
putting
jackets
out DeMar Hamlin everywhere.
Well, I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon.
They'll name a trophy or something after him.
Rockies manager Bud Black signs a big one-year extension through 2024.
Great.
How do we feel about... Is Bud Black not the problem? I mean, he's not the problem.
He's not the problem, but this is not a step towards a solution.
He's 417 and 453 with the Rockies since he was hired. He's third in the franchise wins behind Clint Hurdle, 534, and Don Baylor at 440. They did make the postseason twice under him, which is like double the amount of times that they've been, or a little less than double.
That was like 6 years ago.
Still. Are they going to be better this year? Chris Bryant, we're thinking he's going to be healthy. That's exciting. Yay.
Thought that going into the season last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
there's some young guys that, you know, have potential. I think Ezekiel Tovar at shortstop, I think he's a guy to watch in going into his rookie season. So I'm going to just see what happens.
I don't know. They didn't really make any moves. I mean, have they signed anybody?
No one of importance.
I haven't seen any big names. No big splashes. Not that they could, but that's just where they are. The Denver Broncos request DC interview with a former head Broncos coach, Vance Joseph. He's been in Arizona the past 4 years, and that's where he went after 2 years with the Broncos. So Vic Fangio was in at least the picture. Then Vance Joseph, hey, might as well bring Nathaniel Hackett back to be the offensive coordinator. Bring Vance Joseph back to be the DC, and it's coaches of Christmas past. I don't like the idea of it. I wouldn't if I were Vance Joseph. Like, you were laughed out of here. Fangio seems a little different. There seemed to be a little bit more respect for Fangio because his defense was pretty good. Vance Joseph, like, they just weren't good. Fangio at least had we don't want to lose him as a D coordinator. He's so freaking good at that. So there was that idea. But they put in a request to interview him for the DC position. He's 50 years old. He remains under contract with Arizona, so Arizona could block this interview. But the Cardinals are, they actually, obviously we know they hired Jonathan Gannon, so you got a defensive-minded coach there. Do you want a relatively big name as a DC if you're the head coach? I mean, that's what you see in the NFL. If offensive-minded guys usually hire quarterback coach type material. Defensive-minded guys usually hire, you know, a position coach type material because they're going to be the coordinator. They're going to be the one calling the shots. So it makes sense that Arizona would be ready to move on. But potentially there are a few teams that are interested in Joseph. Like the Eagles are actually interested in Joseph. That would be weird. That would be weird
that,
to me.
Sean Desai's name hasn't been popping up with Denver after he was recommended by Fangio.
Right, yeah.
Who he worked under for about 4 or 5 years in Chicago.
Would you be okay as a fan of a team, bring back, like, what has it been, 4 years? No. We've gone through several coaches since then.
What was Fangio?
Fangio did 3 years.
And Hackett.
So, okay, yeah, it was. How about that? Would you be okay with that? A guy that was fired, I don't even think, did he finish? Yeah, he was fired at the end of the season. He was 11-21 as the Broncos head coach. They were like an okay defense, but their offense was really, 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 really bad. Fangio's defense was good, though. Like, Joseph's, they were fine. I don't know if they were world beaters, but Vic's defense was really good. Joseph was talked about it back when the Cardinals came to Denver in December and the Broncos won that game. Joseph was asked about his time as the head coach at that point. He said, I'm over it. It was never a sore spot. That's a great opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL. It didn't work out, but I wasn't the first guy, and I won't be the last. There were never any ill feelings. It was just a job. It didn't get done, and you move on. That was a strange time for Vance Joseph, though. It was a weird... That was... Talk about quarterback struggles. They had quarterbacks all... I mean, the Trevor Siemians and Paxton Lynch's, and they were all over the place.
Chad Kelly.
I mean, I don't even know how far. It's just interesting that Vic Fangio's name pops up, and then Vance Joseph's name pops up. Former Broncos head coaches. Not that long ago.
Maybe Sean Payton was, you know, told from around the facility that practices haven't been great the last year.
They always have.
They haven't been great, but we can maybe get it to good.
They always have.
Not great practice, just good practice.
Just solid practice. We want to be good at practice. Huh. I don't know. That's a weird I think it's weird. Listen, if it happens, I'm not going to.
Would you rather Joseph or Ryan?
Oh, that could be a good poll question tomorrow. Rex Ryan, who is kind of a controversial figure.
He's a personality.
He's a personality that you got mixing in with another personality in Sean Payton and another personality with Russell Wilson. Or Vance Joseph, who would be okay. He probably coached some of those guys that are on the team. He coached Justin Simmons. Huh. If I had to pick between those two. Hey, go big. You're already going big. Might as well just go with Rex Ryan. I mean, I don't know. Okay, the logical part of my brain worries about all the star power. Would there be issues with Vance in Denver? I don't think so. I mean,
maybe at first, but if the defense turns out okay, it's okay. Vance figured it out. He just wasn't a head coach.
Yeah, it would be strange. It'd just be strange. This doesn't happen very often. Like, that really doesn't happen. Guy fired as a head coach, comes back shortly after to be the coordinator. Mm-mm. If I had to pick, though, logically, Vance has been in the game. He's been with the Cardinals for the last 4 years. Rex has been out since how long? When was his last with the Bills? Several years ago. 2018? So I think if I had to pick between those two, I'd probably say, fine, go with Vance Joseph. Go with a guy that's been in the league. I worry about these guys. Like, everybody's bringing up Wade Phillips and stuff, and it's like, and I get it. He was amazing.
Ryan's been out since 2016.
Nah, go with Vance. If those are my options, got to figure it out, though. They need to start getting their coordinators here, man. We're getting in that free agency period here.
Tampering starts in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, we gotta know who our coordinator is so we know who to go after. Although we do have, according to Zach Stevens, who we interviewed on Monday, it's like, get ready, the money's gonna go toward the offense. They may not re-sign a lot of guys. So maybe it doesn't matter. 18 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle will join me at the bottom of this one from the Fort Collins, Colorado. CSU dropped a tough one last night to Boise State, so we'll talk to Kevin about that. More on the Denver Nuggets and the Broncos. Also coming up, we have the UNC Bears baseball head coach, Mike Anderson. So very excited to talk to Coach Anderson here on the program the first time we've had him on the show. So 18 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Can the Bears win the Big Sky Tournament and punch a ticket to the big dance? Follow along on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We want to shout out to one of our newest sponsors of the program, and that's Kane Doolin McQuinn Young Law Firm. We know, man. I mean, if you're driving on these roads, whether the weather's bad or not, people just get a little interesting sometimes. So if you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane Doolin McQuinn and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Again, that's trialproven.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Don't forget, we're going to have Mike Anderson, UNC Bears men's baseball coach, joining us in the second hour. So I'm very excited about that. He has a great track record, man. I mean, he had a 337-196-2 record while he was with Nebraska. He took the reins with Nebraska in 2003. And they were pretty good. They were a powerhouse in the Big 12 Conference. He took five different teams to the NCAA tournament. He reached the Men's College World Series in 2005. He earned Nebraska's first World Series win in program history. So the guy has a pretty good resume trying to revive this program. That's the goal with this. And, man, this was a home run type hire. I'm excited about this guy.
I'm excited, too. A couple years ago when I was still in school, I went out and covered a lot of UNC baseball games.
Did you? What was that like?
It was fine. It was more for me just to have experience with writing and watching and reporting on sports games. But I enjoyed it. It's fun. Jackson Field's nice to go out there on a nice spring afternoon, watch some baseball.
What was the attendance like? Not great.
Maybe 30 people.
That's, what I think is great about a guy like Mike Anderson is he played for UNC. He has a background here. So I think that getting buy in, yeah,
sure.
Oh, yeah, man. I tweeted out I'm having him on today, and people are going nuts. And rightfully so. He has a great resume, and he played for UNC. He was here for a while. He played with them in the 80s, and then he was drafted in the 8th round of the 86 draft by the California Angels. 30 years of coaching experience at the position. So excited. Excited to talk to him. Coming up, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Dixon says, does KC have a team? If so, I'll take them. I don't think they'll. St. Louis.
That'd
be your best bet. That'd be your best bet there, Dixon.
Playing in the old Rams Stadium.
Yep. So go vote at theholeshow.com on that. Who are you rooting for in the XFL? Or is there just zero interest for you? The clip that was played earlier, like, why is Travis Kelce? And I'm a Travis Kelce fan. I'm into it. I love the, obviously him as a player, but I love the whole WWE thing that he's got going. But who created this narrative of nobody thought we could do it? Who said, now,
I think he created it.
I think that players sometimes and coaches even just want to create a chip on their shoulder, even if there's not a chip on their shoulder. Yes, I think some people thought they would take a step back. I thought the AFC West was going to be so freaking good this year that you'd have four teams deep into the playoff hunt or playoff mix. And I thought maybe the Chiefs would finish around 10 or 11 wins. I don't know. Like, they'd all be right around that mark. Yes, I was the one. So is Kelce talking to me? Because I picked them to finish last in the West.
I'm not sure who he's talking to. Like, I know there was, some concerns that could they be the same team without Tyreek Hill? Is Patrick Mahomes really that guy?
Right.
And he is, because he did it with whoever they have, plus Kelce. But this whole, the AFC, they said they were rebuilding in the West.
Nobody said they were
ever
rebuilding.
Said that.
No,
and
even
me,
I still said they were going to be good. I didn't say they were going to be bad. I just thought the AFC West was going to be actually locked and loaded and stacked.
Well, and then we kind of knew halfway through the season, okay, it's going to be KC.
Yeah.
Chargers may do something. They ended up getting in the playoffs, but at midway point, it's like, okay, yeah, the Chiefs are going to win.
Seven, eight games in, I said, okay, I was wrong. So there wasn't this long buildup of nobody believes in the Chiefs. Yes, there was more belief in the Bills, but it wasn't like an anti-Chiefs thing.
They still had them in the AFC Championship.
Most people thought they would be deep. And I'm saying, most people thought they would be deep in the playoffs. Everybody was on the Bills and the Bengals, and we would suck without Hill. I think there were more people on the Bills. I don't know about the Bengals. I wasn't high on the Bengals. I did say they were coming in with a chip on their shoulder because I didn't think a lot of people were high on the Bengals, actually. Because that was one of the reasons I said they were coming in with a chip on their shoulders. People aren't talking about them. It's still the Bills and the Chiefs. Most of the national guys that I followed through this were still, it was the Bills, then it was the Chiefs. I don't think anybody said they would suck without Hill. You just wondered, would he take a step back? And the answer is no. But that was even Patrick Mahomes on a step back. Still, I think a lot of people thought they would be pretty good. So I don't know. You're right. Week 7, week 8, most people were like, yeah, they could probably win a Super Bowl. I think a lot of people thought they'd win the Super Bowl week 7 or 8. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I picked them to beat the Bengals. Maybe a lot of people didn't pick them that. And that's what Kelce's talking about. But that's it. Like, people weren't saying they were rebuilding. They weren't starting from scratch. You still have the best quarterback in the league. You still have arguably the best tight end of all time and arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. He's at least in the mix. I was laughing, though. Andy Reid, they asked him what he had for Super Bowl post-game. Like, what did he eat? It was not a cheeseburger. Hmm. He had pizza. I mean,
I would go for pizza after a football game.
Yeah. Dixon says
that's something you can grab with one hand and just rah.
Yeah. Just go to town. Dixon said, by week 7 or 8, that's too late. You don't get to change what you said. Yeah, yes, you do. Absolutely.
Because we all thought Russell Wilson and the Broncos were going to be Super Bowl contenders.
Dude, sports. So if I tell you right now that at the beginning of the season, I didn't think that the Joker was going to win a third MVP in a row, and I outlined why. I said he's not going to take a step back. He's not going to be worse. It's just the team around him is going to be so good that it might mask some of that, and he wouldn't do enough great things to go over that. Well, I'm wrong about that. He's clearly the favorite, so I'm not allowed to come on and say, so I just have to stick with that? No, that's garbage sports, because you have to adjust with the seasons.
I mean, we can say this stuff, but we also get the benefit of saying, yeah, I was probably wrong about the Chiefs.
And then you change your take. That's sports.
I wasn't so sure about their defense this year. They were bad in some parts, but they overall had a pretty solid defense.
Well, look at my entire, go to thewholeshow.com and look at where I had my quarterback tiers spread out. I was wrong on a lot of those guys. That's how it happens. But that doesn't mean you have to stay with that take all year. So Dixon's basically saying, if by week 7 you changed and said, oh, actually, the Chiefs are pretty good. No, you said they were going to be terrible. Well, I was wrong. Well, I didn't say they were going to be terrible. I just said they finished last in an awesome AFC West.
And the Broncos are 2-5.
So. Yes. I was wrong. But that, and so I said the Broncos would win the AFC West. By like week 5, I was like, whoo, nobody saw this coming. So, yes, you're wrong. You readjust your takes. You're wrong about, you admit that you're wrong and you move on. But it's not like most people didn't think the Chiefs were going to be in the playoffs this season.
Like, they weren't going to fall off a cliff.
They weren't going to fall off a cliff. I actually, because I think you can mathematically get all 4 of your division teams into the playoffs, right? I actually said I wouldn't be surprised if there are 4 AFC West teams in the playoffs. If you go back and listen to that take. I thought that Russell Wilson being with the Broncos, I honestly thought Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr would really work out with Devontae Adams. And then the Chargers, and I just thought, man, it's going to be so tight. You might be looking at 12-10, like 2 games separating the top and the bottom. And they might all 4 get in. So, yeah, if people were wrong, they weren't wrong by much. They weren't like, oh, the Chiefs are going to be bottom of the barrel. Dixon says, you asked where it came from, and that's an example of where it came from. But even then, dude, the Chiefs are making it sound like the rhetoric around them was that they were going to be a rebuilding team and they were bad. That's not, I never heard anybody say the Chiefs are in rebuild mode. I didn't say that. So, I mean, the guys just create this stuff. Dixon, you're the poster boy from where it came from. I just told you. I said I wouldn't be shocked if 4 teams in the AFC West get in the playoffs. So, is a rebuilding team getting into the playoffs? No. Come on now. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's talk to Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our Rams insider. We'll talk to him next, but first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
We got Tiger Woods warming up. We got the Eaton Country Club back in the mix here on The Hull Show. Guys, thinking about golf. It's not that far away. Check out. We're going to interview a baseball coach coming up in the second hour, in the third hour. Springtime is upon us. Eaton Country Club. Check them out online. EatonCC.net. And Kevin will appreciate it. Did Tanner say he thinks Tiger Woods should retire? Dude, that guy doesn't need to retire until he can physically not lift a golf club anymore. Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, how are you, man?
Doing good. Is Tanner working as like Tiger's, bad financial advisor or what?
I get, Tanner. He has some bad takes. He's had some bad takes the last couple of weeks, man.
Just the last couple of weeks?
Well, maybe the last couple of years.
We love you, Tanner.
I know we do. I don't know if he's listening. He'll probably come in here soon. Kevin, my man. Okay, was it a foul last night on John Tanjay?
It looked like it. It looked like there was probably contact on the wrist on the follow-through on that potential game-winning shot. Certainly CSU thought so. You know, they answered diplomatically in the press conference. Nico Medved said he hadn't seen it, which may or may not be true, but it's a good way to – either way, it's a good way to avoid getting yourself in trouble. John Tanjay said, you know, I may or may not have been hit, which I think pretty clearly tells you what he thinks. But in a a diplomatic way that'll keep him from getting in any trouble. So yeah, I think CSU thought it was a foul. The camera angles on it weren't really great.
Right.
So I never got an awesome look. It looked like some contact there, but kind of again, we've talked about this before, sort of like the Wyoming game. You know, you always pay attention to the one, you know, call or non-call at the end, but there are also a lot during the game. So it obviously is hugely important, but there are a lot of other calls too. And, CSU, again, left to rue some other missed opportunities other than that one at the end.
Yeah, man. I mean, what a gutsy performance. You know, I thought maybe they were gonna do this thing, but lost by two to the Broncos. And how's Isaiah Stevens doing, man? He was, I mean, a great game by him. 17 points, 12 more assists to put some more room in between him and between the record and the rest of the world. But he looked like he was kind of hurting off and on, man. I was worried there for a minute.
Yeah, me too. So he went down, for those that didn't see it, basically first minute of the game, kind of landed awkwardly and laid on the floor for a while. And, you know, anyone that knows Isaiah, he's not a guy that's just going to, you know, lay on the floor and kind of create some drama to buy himself some time. That's not him. So you knew he must have been hurrying. They got up, seemed to be okay, but he missed a couple shots that normally he'd make, and you're kind of wondering if it's bothering him. And then most of the second half, he was just outrageously good. But then again, in the final few minutes, play was kind of at the other end. There was a whistle or something, and Isaiah Stevens was lying down, you know, pretty much writhing in pain, you know, at the opposite free throw line. And it was really concerning. And, you know, like I said, he's not a guy that's going to milk those things. But he somehow got up. He could barely walk. And then goes and hits that really tough three-pointer to keep CSU in it. So haven't got word yet on Isaiah, you know, moving forward, how that ankle is. But, man, he really gutty performance. It was a really good game from him, you know, if you throw out the fact that he was really hurting. So just another incredible game. You know, I know CSU fans are frustrated, but gosh, you have to appreciate and enjoy watching this guy play.
He is just such a sensational player, such a great dude, man. And you just hate it. You hate seeing him get hurt or, you know, anything like that. You hate seeing this record, the way this season is wrapping up. And I know they still have the Mount West tournament coming up, but man, you hate to see it for greats like this. I mean, we hated to see it for Trey McBride for on the football side of things. When you have these all-timers, guys that are going to go down in history as the perhaps the best at this position or on this team, you just hate it, man. It sucks.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. He is, you know, without doubt, one of the best players in CSU history. It's a bummer that, you know, this, you know, fourth season, I guess we'll call it, since we can't for sure say it's his last, you know, is going this way. And certainly from a fan perspective, I think everyone hopes that maybe they do get another one because this guy's just incredible to watch.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, Kevin, so let's hope that – let's just write for this argument. Let's assume that maybe Isaiah comes back next year. And I know that's a big assumption, but let's just do it for now. What if you're fixing this team, like who – what is one move? What do you have to do to make sure you don't waste it? If Isaiah Stevens does come back next year, what will the Rams need to do? Or can they get better with this current group? How many additions do you think they need to make?
Yeah, it's a mix of things. You know, if you look at kind of what could come back next year. So let's say, like you say, let's just make the big leap, and it is a big leap that Isaiah comes back. You figure Josiah Strong looks like there's a pretty good chance he could come back under a medical red shirt next year. And Josiah, again, I know I've talked about him a lot. Fans haven't seen him. The one game him and Isaiah really played together, guess which one it was? St. Mary's.
Mm.
How did that one go? CSU is obviously
right.
By far biggest win of the year. So that would be a big addition. You obviously need big man, another big man to pair with Patrick Cartier. You know, is that going to be Kyle Evans coming back from injury? Is it Jacob Jennison? Is it Rashawn Mbemba? Is it a player to be named later? But I think those are two big things. You know, another really good guard, and Josiah Strong, as well as Kyan Evans coming in, I think can be those guys, and then another big. Those would be the two big things that CSU needs.
Kevin, I'm going to go through the roster here because we're still in this strange post-COVID. I don't know who could. I honestly don't know who could come back. So you just said Cartier. He could come back. He probably comes back next year.
Yeah. So Cartier, yeah, he's a potential 2-year guy. So next year would be his second and last year.
Okay. How about Isaiah Rivera?
He can come back.
There we go. John Tonjay, he's a senior, but can he come
yep,
back?
Yep. So he's in the exact same boat as Isaiah Stevens. Of they could come back for the the fifth year, the COVID year.
Okay. So do you think that he would come back? I mean, that's another. I know that's a big question, but what do you think?
I would say probably not, but again, I'm not ready to close the door 100%, just partially because I don't think anyone has made those decisions yet.
Okay, and I'm just going through some of these guys could transfer, whatever, just getting your take here. Just looking at the current group, what about a guy like Baylor Hebb?
Yep, he could come back.
James Moores?
Yep, he could as well.
Joe Palmer?
Yep, he was a 2-year guy as well, kind of similar boat to Cartier.
And then you got a young guy, obviously Tavi Jackson. Odds are he'll be back. He's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Who am I missing? Oh, Josiah Strong. What's that look like for him?
Yep. So yeah, Josiah is the. It's kind of funny. He's the only guy on this roster that was out of eligibility after this year, but, and it's a big but, since he's been out basically all year, he can apply for a medical red shirt. Because he's missed because of this illness, and obviously I'm not the NCAA, whoever knows what they're doing, but I think he would have a pretty decent chance to get that. So I think the hope and kind of tentative plan is that Josiah will be back next year.
Okay, who else am I? Oh, Jalen Lake. I'm missing a few others. Yeah, he also
can come back. The hurt guys, Kyle Evans, obviously is a freshman, so he's got plenty of eligibility. Jacob Jennison, another guy that's been hurt, he has more eligibility. Trying to think if we're missing anyone, but yeah, basically everyone can come back. That's not to say everyone will. I think it would be naive to think there won't be any transfers out, or obviously Tonjay and Stevens, what their decision will be, but technically the whole roster could return.
Well, we'll see what
if Strong gets that medical red shirt.
Yeah, then that would be big, of course, and as you said, finding those big guys, or it's hard to do, though. You and I were talking about this last week. Like, everybody on Twitter's like, oh, you got to find, and I even tweeted it, but I know it's unrealistic. I said, yeah, ideally, you need a 7-foot center that can shoot, but that's not realistic. And if there are a lot of 7-footers that shoot, they're going to the big schools. They're going to the Michigans of the world.
Yeah. And, people keep, forgetting or dismissing the fact that CSU has 14 feet of big men sitting on the bench injured, and Kyle Evans and Jacob Jennison. Both are 7-footers. Jennison actually, I think, is a guy that maybe can shoot some, but again, we haven't seen them at all. Kyle Evans was playing, starting to play well, and then he got hurt. Obviously, Jennison hasn't played at all, basically, at CSU. So some people want to dismiss them because they've never done anything, but, David Roddy had never done anything either until he came in. So I think it's too casual a dismissal for fans to just say, well, they just didn't get any bigs. It's like, well, I mean, they didn't account for 2 7-footers getting hurt. That wasn't part of the plan.
Who on this roster that, the young guys that we're not seeing, do you see, like, if you just had to put your crystal ball out there and go, man, one of those guys that we haven't really seen might come out next year and be really good?
Well, I really like Kyle Evans. Like I said, he got, 9 or 10 games this year. He was slowly getting more minutes, and you could see, it was like we could see him growing before our eyes. He was obviously raw, definitely a freshman, but he has a lot of potential. He's a real shot blocker, which CSU hasn't had in a while. Good hands, really good passer. We got so sick and joked about the, did you know David Roddy played baseball or football? Kyle Evans is a baseball player, a great pitcher. So if he becomes a great passing big man, get ready for that one. So I'm really excited for his future. And then Jack Payne, the more I watch Jack Payne in practice, because he's redshirting this year, so you won't see him on the court, in games. But the more I see him in practice, I think that kid has a little gumption to him. He seems to be a real, stick his nose in the dirt. Do some of the hard hustle plays. He's like a 6'6" wing type of player, but he's one that I'm kind of excited to see what he can do moving forward too. And then, like I say, Rashaan Mbemba is a fascinating prospect coming in from Austria. And then Kyan Evans, a big athletic guard from Missouri. He is, a steal, I think most people would consider it. There are a lot of people, almost wondering how he's not going to, an Iowa State or something like that, a big-time program, because he's been that good in high school and AAU ball. So he's a really, he'll be a freshman, so, can't expect the world, but he looks like a really talented player.
Kevin, last one for you. I like to watch a lot of Mountain West basketball. I haven't watched a lot of New Mexico lately. What's going on over there, man? They just lost to Wyoming at home.
Yeah, pretty wild. I mean, they went from undefeated in non-conference play to, they're on the outside of the bubble right now after a terrible blowout loss to Air Force and then even worse blowout loss at home to Wyoming. Jalen House, has missed those two games hurt, which is huge for them. He has a hamstring, which is really concerning for how he plays. But still, even with that, you should be able to beat Wyoming at home if you think you're a tournament team. So, New Mexico is one to watch. The wheels have kind of come off, and they need to reset really fast, or else they're going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, we're getting down to it, aren't we? Kevin, my man, appreciate you. No Rams Weekly this week. We got a little state wrestling program we're putting on, as it's a pretty big week. Are you going down? What's your schedule like? Because I know you got so much with CSU. Are you going to be able to get to Denver?
Yeah, so no, actually, Chris will be down in Denver with state wrestling, and I'm actually doing some high school hoops here. Because obviously, as you guys well know, we have some really good teams, and Bruce Dick's Fort Collins team going to win a league title tonight if they can beat rival Rocky Mountain. So I'll be out at that one catching some really good high school hoops.
Yeah, I love it, man. All right, Kevin, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. I'll wrap up this hour. Don't forget, I'm going to have UNC baseball coach Mike Anderson on the program right around 1:20 or so. So you don't want to miss that. Guy that has so many great local ties and everything. And let's learn about this baseball team. Dude, their season is upon us. We're getting ready to see some college baseball. And can Mike Anderson revive this program? We'll talk about that in the second or in the third hour. Which hour are we in, Angel? I don't even know anymore, man. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The UNC Bears play in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Do want to thank one of our amazing sponsors, and that's On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's Four Noses Brewing in Denver. That's where this one's from. Bout Damn Time IPA. Pick up selections from Four Noses or any of your favorite adult beverages. They're open until 9 a.m. until 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. They got the drive-through. And do make sure, always think about this, because they do the free wine and beer tastings a lot, typically Fridays and Saturdays. They got a good one going on Saturday, 4 to 7, with the great folks from Rule 105, great friends of ours, love what they do. And so try some of that beer there at On the Rocks Liquor. Man, I love what they do. Man, they get after it and get a lot of local breweries involved. So if you were looking for a hub where you can find great beer from local places in the area, even unique things out of state, that's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Our poll question of the day, are you pick a team that you are going to root for in the XFL. I want to see what you guys think here. It does seem like more people are saying not interested. Right now, zero interest. Seattle, St. Louis, Battlehawks are next, then the Brahmas, then the Defenders, the Vipers, Guardians. The Seattle Sea Dragons are still in last place. It's very sad to me. That's my team. Those are my guys. Don't talk about my team.
Well, it'll be satisfying when if your team is the winner at the end, you'll be the only one that supported them.
It will be. I will literally be the only fan. And I'm kind of bummed. You tweeted at your team, and they liked your tweet. I tweeted at my team, and I didn't get any of that.
That gets a lot of respect from me. If you respond to me on Twitter, you get points.
Yeah, treat your fan base right. If you're trying to grow your fan base, you got to treat them all right, man. All right, third hour, we're going to talk to Mike Anderson, UNC Bears baseball coach, coming up a little bit later on. Also, more on the Denver Broncos. We'll talk about it next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.